Well, I desire your prayers. I believe that meetings like this is becoming rare in our country, our world. But I believe that people going away from meetings like this and letting the Lord lead their lives is becoming real rare. I believe that there is still religion in our world. I believe there is still Christianity. But I see less and less impact of it. So pray the Lord would help us in this time to be encouraged. My thought may be a little strange. I've been thinking about the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Now, to young people, that might be a legitimate question you'd think about. But I want to ask it to everybody here tonight. What do you want to be? My thought tonight is going to be founded in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. But I want to lay a little background, a little foundation, if I could. I'm thinking about Joseph. Joseph was a young man that if you study it out, history of him says that he was a very, very good-looking young man. It helped promote him when he needed promoted. Now, God isn't interested. Good looks, beauty to God isn't outwardly. But God knows humans appreciate it and look at it. And he can use that. And to the rest of us, he uses something else. But he'll use something about us. He's got the ability to do that. To use what he can. Joseph was a young man that not only was very good looking, history says, but he was very intelligent. That was a plus to him. And God can use that because he knows that's it's valuable to humans. But God can use anything with anybody. I want to say something about Joseph tonight. He seemed to be special from the time he was young with gifts and things that he done, but he never done it himself. He never gave himself the ability to dream or to interpret dreams. And he didn't give himself that. He didn't suppose somewhere along the line that I'm going to be able to do something and work his way to doing it. God gave it to him. And God gave him his looks and his intelligence. But God had a purpose for him in his life. And do you believe tonight, do you really believe tonight that God created everything that there is? That's really under attack in our world today. Really, really under attack. Do you believe that God is, and do you believe that God created everything that's created? It's essential that you do. Because the obvious question would be, if you don't, then who did? That gets into a really tough question. And it has to do with who we are and what we are going to believe. I believe that God created everything. Now that puts me into a certain place. Because if God created everything, God runs everything. Everything's God. You know that if you and I had the ability to understand one square yard of Oklahoma dirt, one cubic yard, I'll say, of Oklahoma dirt right here. Take a cube out of there. There is no way that we could understand all the workings of that soil. You don't know what small elements is in there, down to the small. You don't know what all's going on in that soil, what life forms in there. You don't know. And it would be incredible to know one cubic yard. Can you imagine the understanding of this whole earth? All that there is in this whole earth? To understand that. But God's understanding goes way beyond that. It goes into all of the universe. All of the, I mean, it's incredible to think of what God has done. And how little we are in idea with it. And I look at all that and say, I ask the question again, what do you want to be? And if you had God's ability. Do you know that the whole universe is God's arsenal?
Yes, it is.
It's His arsenal. God can use anything that He created to work in our lives. If you had the ability tonight to have the whole arsenal at your disposal to make you something, what would you make you? I know I could ask some people that question that I know, and they would say, I would like to be the greatest athlete that ever lived. Run the fastest and jump the highest. I could do all these. Yeah, I would make myself be that. Well, maybe tonight there's young people in here that would have that idea. I don't know. Or perhaps there would be some young lady that would say, I would take that arsenal and make me the most beautiful woman that ever walked the earth. If I had the whole arsenal. If I had the whole arsenal, I would make me a multi-billionaire. I'd be king of the earth. If I had the whole arsenal, I could do whatever I wanted to do. I could make myself whatever I wanted to be. God was able to take His arsenal. And you know He had a plan for Joseph? It wasn't a haphazard plan. It was a plan that was directed from the beginning to do something that was very ordered. Joseph's only thing Joseph had to do with this order was to allow himself to be used of the Lord and be faithful. And it looked like God was messing up, didn't it? Couldn't you look into this situation and say, God, I'm at the wonder here. I have this all in your lap, Lord. But now I'm down here at the bottom of this well, and things aren't looking good. I would have never expected if I'd have put all this into your hands, Lord, that I'd be in the bottom of this well. I would have expected me being lifted up with the best things around me. That's what I do with the arsenal. But the Lord doesn't do that with His arsenal, but He's got a direction and plan. Joseph never imagined, I don't think, what necessarily he was going to be when he grew up. Could he have looked in and seen what he could have possibly been? God knew what He wanted him to be. And God used that for us even today. We many times will look at the bad situations in our life and we'll put ourselves into that and then we'll say, and Joseph was in that kind of a place too. And God worked together for His good and brought him to a better place. The nation of Israel and his whole family, those that done wrong, everybody, He brought them to a better place because God worked in Joseph's life. Lord, help me to take that too. I am confident with God and His arsenal tonight. God can use the bumblebees if He wants to. He can use the wasps. He can use the mosquitoes. God can use sicknesses. He can use parasites. He can use God can use all these arsenals tonight to do what He wants to bring us to those kind of places. And we know the story of Joseph. Joseph through a series of God events. Do you know that wasn't just a haphazard thing that he ended up there with Potiphar's wife? No! God was using the arsenal that he has and bringing Joseph in this place of his life and ended up putting him place. God had in mind that he was going to exalt Joseph one day. And this is the way that he was going to do it. I was asked many times when I was in grade school growing up, the teachers, I don't know why they did it necessarily, but I remember them doing it a number of years, that asked the whole class to write down on a piece of paper what they wanted to be when they grew up. I never wanted to be anything when I grew up. It was crazy. I had no guidance. I had no direction. I had no desire to be any particular thing when I grew up. I was a little boy that wanted to play at recess. I didn't care much beyond that. I wanted the school to end. I wanted vacation to come. I wanted to go squirrel hunting or fishing. I didn't care beyond that. But they would ask so I'd come up with something. Well, for a couple of times I remember thinking, I kind of like to be a farmer. Be a farmer. Then I remember one day one of my buddies say, what do you want to be? And I said, I don't know. What do you want to be? He said, I think I'm going to put down a doctor. Doctor sounds good enough with me, I said. Boy, but didn't know what I was talking about, didn't want to be a doctor, wrote down a doctor. I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. I have no idea or direction. You know, really, I lived most of my life really that way. I didn't know what I was going to be when I grew up. And I didn't aim to go into surveying. Never thought about going into surveying. I needed a job one day. And a buddy of mine needed somebody to help him, and he was in surveying, and he called me and said, would you like to work? And work was doing this, and I said, well, I'm not doing anything else. And I started into it, and a path opened up for me, and that's what I did. I went down a road that I didn't create or make. And not long after that, it became my life occupation, but there come a time that the Lord spoke with my heart about ministering. I never chose it, folks. I never chose it. I didn't do it. I didn't use the arsenal. God chose that. But there's something higher than all of that, the occupations of life and what we do. Moses was another man that was born of a certain way, and God had an ambition and desire for him in his life, but he didn't choose that, did he? Did he say, I'm going to be born of the Pharaoh's daughter? Am I going to be a prince? No, he didn't choose anything. God chose something of him. And God worked in his life. And you know, it took a long time to get there in human terms. But he brought him to a place, and Moses never said, as a little boy, what do you want to be, Moses? I want to be the deliverer of our people. No, he didn't say that. I wonder how many people actually ever say what they want to be and end up being what they say they want to be. I doubt many. How many people have actually wrote on that paper, I want to be a drug addict. I want to be an alcoholic. I want to be a wife abuser. I want to be a child abuser. I want to be a pedophile. I want to be some... No, they don't write those things down there. They take a course of life, is what they do. Moses followed his course. They became a great man. A great man of God, because he esteemed the riches of Christ more than the riches of this world. And God brought him, used the arsenal that he had, a stick. God's got an arsenal and a stick. God's got an arsenal in scorpions and fiery serpents, and he's got an arsenal in the things around him, frogs and flies and all these things, and God used his arsenal to bring Moses to the place that he came to. I think of David. My old brother up home used to say, Brother Jim used to tell us God chose Saul to be king, but he made David a king. You know, David was chosen to be king and knew he was to be king, but he couldn't quite get there. Because Saul was there, he had to wait, he had to be persecuted, he had to be run, he had to trust God, he had to do all this thing. He made him into somebody. He used his arsenal to get David to that kind of a place. And David is the high water mark of all the kings of Israel. Are you a son of David or are you not? Because he was a man that was after God's own heart. And God brought him to that kind of a place. There's something higher in all this. What do you want out of life? What's your highest goal and ambition tonight? What do you think that you could, if you could obtain tonight with the whole arsenal of God, what would you obtain? What would you want to say tonight? This is what I would want to capture and be in my life. I'd want to have my face on every billboard in Oklahoma. I want to have my name on every financial paper. I want to be a billionaire. I want to be an athlete. I want to be on posters. I want to do something, be something. Lord, help us. God's not asking that question that he would give you anything of that. But you know, there's something that the Lord does want to do. I want to look at the 5th chapter of Ephesians. It's the first verse, but to understand really this verse, I think we need to look at the verses coming up to it in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. Oh, let's go back. 25th verse. Says, wherefore putting away lying. I wonder what kind of a world it'd be if people would stop lying. Could you imagine what it'd be like for tomorrow everybody just stopped lying? News reporter says to some of these politicians, did you do that? Yeah, I did. Everybody be shocked. Be shocked! Are you for this or against? I'm against. You voted for it? Yeah, I know. I was lying. Would it be something for somebody all of a sudden for us to start saying, wherefore? Don't you want to put it away? Don't you want to be able to trust me? You know, the very basis of human relationships is in honesty. There can't be human relationships without honesty. Well, how am I going to trust, if I can't trust you, how am I going to work with you? I can't. It's the basis of real relationship. Wherefore, putting away lying. I know what the world says. They say you can't live this way. Yes, you can. By God's great arsenal, you can. You can live that way. It says, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth. Lord, help us. What do you want to be tonight? What would you like to be when you grow up? What is the ultimate that you'd like to be? You know, the Bible is saying here, put away corrupt communications. Quit talking about people behind their back. Speak to them with love as you'd have them to speak about you. Speak that way. Learn to be that way. That would be a high and noble calling, would it not? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And that's my thought tonight. I want to work with a little bit. Be followers of God as dear children. This word follow is closely would resemble or be in our English mimic. It would be to mimic Christ. Mimic him, to understand and mimic him. Well, that's what I want to be when I grow up. It's as if he's saying, as a little son, of those that had sons, I was a son one time, you've either been little or you had little ones, you have been little, you understand this, probably this concept. Most little boys especially look up at their dads in a hero type look. Why, and why not? He can do everything. I remember growing up, my dad could do everything. You know, my dad could do everything. Well, he's the one that done everything. Why couldn't I believe that? It's not hard to want to be like that. A lot of times, you know what I'm talking about. You ever notice that? You ever notice that a lot of times you'll see a father and son walking and the same tight clothes the father's got son's had on too? Well, I know his mama dresses him. But he wears them the same way Dad does. Walks the same way he does. If Dad sticks his top of his pants down in his boots. I mean, I got a son. We walk around in our muck boots. I'm down in my boots. His too. We walk along. Somebody says, father and their son. Just look at him go. Same stride, same walk. Look at the same. That's the way it is. He said, mimic. Mimic. It's to us to mimic. I want that should be the desire of all of us that want to serve the Lord. And if you're here tonight, and you don't know the Lord, I want to tell you, I would like the God to deal with you to look and tell you there's something in life better than just the carnal ways of life or the ambitions of life. They'll fail you, they'll leave you high and dry, so to speak. But he says, be followers of God, mimickers, imitators of God, as dear children. Look and learn and understand what he done and the way he done it. And put that on. Now, what was he talking about? Jesus did not carry bitterness.
No,
that's what these verses were about. Yep. It says there, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. Walk the way God walks with a forgiving heart. Yes. They don't have to ask. It's destroying you. Get rid of it. Mimic the Lord. Walk the way the Lord walked. Become what He is. It's the greatest, best life. It's the highest and noblest call you'll ever have. You may never get to those other things. I know we work, we do those things in the Lord. But there's something that's so much higher than having these ambitions. The ambition that every one of us ought to have is, I want to be more like Christ. I want to mimic Him in my life. When those conflicts come in my life, that conflict between me and my neighbor, or those things in my neighbor, I want to speak the truth to my neighbor, even if it hurts.
Yeah.
Even if it hurts. I run into this often. I'm going to tell you, I'm not bragging on Marty, the person here. I want to glorify the Lord, but I want to tell you a little bit of things that happen in my life sometimes that I know is so much different than the old person that I have to say, thank the Lord. This is something there that causes me to think this way. We had been talking for quite a while about getting some chickens. I have a large family and we eat a lot of eggs, and so we got at it. I built this chicken coop, and I put quite a bit into it. I was all excited about it. I got the pen. I made this pen. We ordered these 6 hens, or 10 hens, and they came, and they're right. Order them, and then they get there just about laying time. There's just about time to lay. So we have them, and they start laying, and they got real tame. I mean, tame enough that I go out there and try to feed them. I had to get them out of the way, and they were real tame, and I got to really enjoying these chickens. And the family was really enjoying them. And out of 10, we got up to 7 eggs a day. They was getting with it. They was doing pretty good. And, it was during our camp meeting, and we stayed there for lunch, and then I come home from lunch, and I went out to feed chickens or check the chickens or something. I went out there, and I walked out there, and the chickens are all laying dead. Feathers, blood, all over. And the neighbor's dog. I didn't know what it was at the time, other than I'm assuming it's pretty obvious that a dog got in there and ripped these chickens. And when I saw it, and listen, anybody that knows me does not tag me automatically with sympathies and compassion and softer life. It's something I work with, okay? I work at that. I'm not that, really. That's not me. But when I saw that, I hadn't felt that way probably since I was a little boy. At the loss of chickens, these chickens. It really hit me as a real loss because we had something there. And it really touched me. Oh, it's just... I didn't know exactly what dog was in there, so I went across my neighbor and said, have you all seen any stray dogs there? It was one of my other neighbors there, no, I hadn't seen no dogs around, no. And why? I said, well, because a dog just got into my chicken pen and killed all my chickens. Actually, there was 1 out of the 10 left. He killed 9. I didn't know it at the time. So I said, okay, well, he went to look around. Well, I just started out with my truck, and I looked, and right over from where my pen was, here comes dogs. I saw the dog. I said, come right out of the weeds right from where my chicken coop was at. So I went back to the neighbors and said, you know anybody that owns a white dog with a... The one got a funny look on his face. Brown patch. I went on. Finally he said, yeah, brown patch on his face? Yeah. Well, that's my dog. And I'm like, oh. But he wouldn't kill chickens. And I'm like, he won't kill your chickens. They generally are like that. Anybody knows anything about dogs? Dogs, yeah, I get used to own chickens. They ain't gonna kill your own chickens. Dogs go kill other chickens. And I was standing there thinking, what do you do here now? What was I gonna do anyway? Oh, it wasn't my dog. Well, it just come out of there. Ain't no other dog around. It was that dog. I'm saying, it was that dog. Pretty obvious it was that dog. And he ends up even saying, well, I'd pay for your chickens if we knew it was my dog. I mean, I'd pay for your chickens. And all of a sudden I realized, it ain't worth it. This is my neighbor. It's chickens. This is my neighbor. There's something more than this here. There's love and compassion here and stuff like that. This wasn't malicious, man. Man wasn't being malicious to me. And it's, I still got a feeling of loss here. And I said, no, I wouldn't want you to do that. And I come away a little conflicted, to be honest with you, but something in there says, there's something to do here for the Lord. You can show yourself.
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up? What kind of person you want to be? What do you want inside you? I know what I want inside, and I don't want the old man in there. I want to be able to handle these kind of things with grace and dignity in the right way. Yeah, I had a loss, but I don't want somebody else to suffer because of when I'm the one claiming that God runs the arsenal. Of chickens and dogs. I'm the one saying that. Wasn't my neighbor. He don't stand up and testify that I do. And now I'm going to be, no. I'm going to have to go through with this testimony of God. That's what I want to be. I want to be a follower of God as a dear child. I want to mimic what the Lord did when He dealt with people about things. Another little thing, and sometimes it, I'll say things and almost, I'm saying, did I just say that? I ordered some windows, some replacement windows. And I know, I stressed 3 times to this lady. She was a nice lady. I stressed 3 times. I knew she didn't know what she was doing. She told me she didn't know what she was doing. She wasn't used to the computer. I don't know what I'm doing, she said. The guy that she usually does it's not here. I'll take care of it. I don't know what I'm doing. Be patient, okay? And I stressed with her 3 times. I don't want new construction windows. I want replacement windows. 3 times. Well, when we got the windows, I even helped load the windows. I went all the way to Elkins, got the windows, took them back home, and looked in their new construction windows. And I'm like, oh, no, I wanted to get these in before he left. And I'm thinking, this is a bad deal. And I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you, those times that I get in this attitude for a moment and say, yeah, uh-huh. It always happens to me. Ask my wife if I don't. You ought to know that was going to happen. It always, always, that word always does. Couldn't be no good thing happen about that, the order. Now it takes 2 weeks to get them made, get them sent to you. Now you're going to have to deal with that. Now it's going to take 2 more weeks to do it and all. Well, I called Keith Beveridge. He's my go-to guy about stuff like that. And he said, well, they come up and look at him. And he looked at him and he said, well, I'll tell you what I'd do. And he said, it's just me. This is what I'd do. He said, I'd call him back and tell him that you need to put them in. Keep the windows. Get the discount they'll give you. They don't want them back. Get a discount on them. And you'll get a big discount on them. Then cut that flange off the nailer. You can drill them yourself, put them in just like because they're made for your openings. And I said, well, you know what? I might do that. I might do that. So anyway, I go to bed that night, and I'm sitting there, and it's on my mind. It's on my mind. Run. At 12 o'clock at night, I'm up taking those off. And you know what I found out? Found out that it wasn't near what I thought it was. I had in my mind what it was. Next day, I call this woman. Her name's Penny. I call her and tell her I got the wrong windows. Oh, she said, let me check. She said, I'll call you back. So she got on the computer and checked, and she called back. She was apologetic. I'm totally, Marty, I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry. This is my mistake. Bring the windows back, and we'll order you new windows, all this. And I'm saying, well, I'm under a gun. Well, actually, I had 3 windows in already. And I wanted to get these windows in, so I'd really like to keep these windows. It's just going to cost me more work doing what I have to do. And she says, well, what kind of a discount do you want? Now, B, here's what I've been waiting on. Right? You know, something happened right here with a woman named Penny that was very nice to me. And something happened right here. And I said, and I was thinking, boy, I want this money back. I want something back on this. And then something happened. And I said, who's going to have to eat that? And she said, Marty, it was totally my fault. I said, Penny, forget it. I got good windows. It took me a few minutes to cut those things off. I said, it ain't gonna cost me that much, Penny. Forget it. I don't want you to have to do that personally. No, no, Marty. She said, I insist on it. Said, I'll talk to the manager. We'll take it as the business. The company will just take it as a, we won't lose anything. We'll sell you the windows at price. How's that? Anyway, I got $150 windows for $115 a piece. I had five of them. I saved $153.65. I got it back. At the end of this, I'm saying, Lord, your arsenal or something. You actually gave me all that money back for these good windows. I've done all this. I would have did that anyway. I didn't know how. I wouldn't have known how to have done that. But the Lord knows how to do that. And not only that, you know what was the greatest reward? It wasn't $153.65. It was that thing that happened in my heart. That I didn't care about the money more than I cared about the person that was there. And that's what I want to be when I grow up. That's what I want to be. I want to be able to do that. You know what? It'll cost you sometimes. Sometimes it'll cost you. Sometimes you don't get the $153.65. Sometimes you don't get it back. But the reward is still there. Thank God for it. That we can do that. That there's something in there that works. And follow, to be followers of God as dear children, imitators. Mimic the Lord. He says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I hope that resonates with everybody in here tonight. I hope you get the idea of what the Lord's trying to get across. Because he's saying, Ben, this is the greatest thing that you can do in your life. Be tender-hearted. Kind and tender-hearted towards one another. Forgiving one another. Even as Christ. Have you accepted that forgiveness of Christ to you? And if you have, why don't you give it to somebody else? Why don't you be willing to be a mimicker of the Lord Jesus who did no wrong and yet he paid that with someone else? I'll have to say, of all the things that I ever heard, I appreciate what good things. I appreciate noble and honorable things. Sometimes it's not for necessarily eternal gain, but it's still noble in its action. It's somebody giving something to somebody. And I honor it. I speak of it. I speak of the guy that Brother and Sister Baxter's daughters that fell into the canal. You probably know the story if you heard about it, but one of the little girls fell in the canal. One of the other little girls went in to try to help her. Two little girls in a canal. And a neighbor man comes over and dives in that canal. Gets one of the girls out. And then he drowns trying to save the other one. I honor the man. I don't know him. I don't know him. But he made an impression on my heart. And I said when they told me that story, he's probably got children. Later they said that he had five children of his own. Why did he do that? I don't know, but something in here made him to give everything he had to try to rescue that little girl. And I say, Lord, help you us. Jesus gave his all for you and I. That's what he wants to mimic. He wants us to mimic as dear children, to be like he is, to walk as he walked. It happened literally in the scriptures. Jesus, while he was hanging on the cross, looked down on them and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It wasn't too long after that there was a faithful man named Stephen, who while he was being stoned to death by those that hated him, gnashed their teeth on him and hated him, and was stoning him to death, he looked up to heaven, and he testified that he saw the Lord Jesus on the right hand, standing on the right hand of God. And he asked the Lord in his dying moments to not lay that sin to their charge. Why did he do that? I think he meant it. I think he meant in his heart, Lord, if there's any way, if this is the only thing that they're charged with to keep them out of your heaven, pardon them for my sake. It's the best I can give. I'm not bitter at them. Lord, help them. What a thing to do. Do you know that came true in my life one time? Had a guy that owed me money. Again, it was about money. Sold a car to a guy. He gave me some money. It was $400, and he gave me $225, and he said, I'll pay you the rest payday. You ever hear that? Oh, I remember saying, oh, when he said it. I literally went, oh, that's all I got. All right, pay me payday. Get paid Friday. Friday came and Friday went. I never saw his smiling face anywhere around. Well, a good while went by, and then I ended up, I was right in a convenience store, early 6 o'clock in the morning going to work. Guess who's in front of me in the line? Guy that owes me money. He pays his bill, and he turned around right there in my face. You know what he done? He dropped his head. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He wouldn't look me in the eye. He dropped his head. And said, oh, I'm going to pay you payday. And I was at that point in the mode of, yeah, pay me payday. Okay? So he went on, never come around, never saw him. Weeks went by. You know, one morning, here he is, right in front of me again. And I'm like, oh, here he is again. I wonder what this is going to be like. Turns around, there I dropped his head, can't look at me. I was going to pay you. And I'm like, oh, you need to, yeah. You know, I went home. You know why I went home? He started getting on me. He needs to pay me. You know what started getting me, folks? He's the one that owed me. But I was getting in trouble. And I had to deal with it. And I started dealing with the Lord about it. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord taught me how to get victory. You know what he said? Forgiving. What? Forgiving? Forgiving. You'll have victory if you forgive him of that debt. Right out of forgiving. I'm going to tell you, I struggled with it because I kept thinking, yeah, that I want the victory. And I'll think about that a little bit. And then I think, $175. Now listen, this is 2015 and $175 isn't what the $175 used to be. I mean, it's still okay. I mean, it was $175. You know, I finally labored that out until I said in my heart, Lord, if that's the only thing that he comes to you for, let him go. Don't hold it against him. And I forgave him. And you know, the Lord gave me the third time in the line. I never had a fourth, but I had a third. Right behind him in line, early in the morning, he turns around, and before he could say, I'm going to, I said, hold up, wait a minute, put my hand on his shoulder and said, you're forgiven. Forget it. You don't owe me a thing. Now, he may have just thought he got by with $175, but he don't know what happened. I was free. I was free. And I got to be a mimicker of the Lord Jesus. I got to be a mimicker of his people. I got to mimic, folks, listen. This is what children of God have always been. It's what they've always done. They've always lived higher. We've never accepted the sin you must. You never extended the low life. We never accepted that you can't have victory over the things of your own life. We've never accepted that I have to live with habits and problems. And I've never accepted it in God's great arsenal. He can deliver and help us and give us victory. And he can for you tonight. He said for us to be followers of God as dear children, to come and be like he is and to fashion our lives the way he is. We don't fashion ourselves by the fads and fashions and the ideas of this world, but by the Spirit of the Lord fashioning our lives. Scripture that goes along with that is found in the 5th chapter, Sermon on the Mount, 5th chapter of Matthew, says it this way, 5:44. But I say unto you, well, let me go to 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be children of your Father. You know the night that the devil is trying to beget children? That's what he tries to do. He wants you to take on his image and mimic him. Through the flesh, it's what you'll do. And that's what he wants you to do. When somebody comes against you, the devil wants you to hate. And oh, how easy, folks, how easy it is for us to lose our objective of what we want to be. What we should be. It's easy to let the circumstances of life change, and we'll get into sometimes a carnal struggle and battle over things. Lord help us, we've missed it if we do. You've missed it. That's not what it's about. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not what it's about. It's not about me showing my superiority or authority or some way over you. That's not what it's about. How often I get the great opportunity to mimic the Lord about something, and I lose my opportunity because I'm challenged with a carnal act in it. I'll tell you how it'll be, that kind of a thing. Lord, help us. This says to love your enemy. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if we love them which love, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? It's a question. Do not even the publicans the same? Is that as high as we can get? Is that all the Lord has for us? Am I at the whims of other people's actions and motions? Can you cause me to be hateful? Do you have the ability to cause me to be hateful? Or evil? Or do wicked? Do wickedly? No. You don't have that power over me. You don't rule me or run me. Lord help us. Every time I read this scripture, I'm reminded of something I had thought of years ago about the salmon runs in the Pacific Northwest. You ever run there? It's fascinating. They lay those eggs up in those tributaries of those rivers way back up in there where there's hardly any water. Those, they get filtered down in there. They do their spawning and everything, and these eggs lay down in the gravels, and after so many days of sunlight and all that, they hatch into these wee little miniature little fish by the multitude. And then they start on a great journey. They start out. God programmed these fish. Perfectly programmed. They start out as these little fish. Many of them get eaten up before they ever go. The eggs are destroyed before they ever hatch. Many fish are eaten before they ever go. But by the multitudes, they go all the way back out those tributaries and back into the great Pacific Ocean. And for 3 years, they're in the ocean waters. A freshwater fish going into salt water. And he goes out into the, and he's out there for 3 years until they mature and get large. And then those that have studied them said that they will not go up a strange 3 years, a fish. I don't know, his brain's about the size of my finger. I don't know. But he's programmed. You know what he does? He does what his father done. And his father before him done, and his father before him done, and his father before him done, and it's the ancient trail of those salmons that have done it through the eons. They do it the same. They will not go up a strange river. Where they're hatched is where they go back. They have a scent of that they go back for. They will not go up a different one. Then they're hatched in a place. They go back to the place of the hatching. I think of that incredible analogy. Do you know, folks, 2015, we're walking in Jesus' footsteps. And we're not the first ones to do it. But we've got to do it the way that's been done before. They've walked that way. Do you know that Joseph walked that way? Moses, even though it was before, they still was, they were begotten by the Word of God. They were begotten by the Spirit of God. These were men of God that followed the ways of God. And they walked that path too. And it's all set for an example for us. We not only mimic the Lord, but as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We follow God. We're following godly men's example. Those that have been faithful and true through the years, we walk behind them. And we look and say, they sacrificed, they did this, they done this, and all of those things. We walk in that kind of faith, in that kind of way. We mimic the Lord. I'm amazed at that, that those salmon do that. And they go, you know what they do? It's a one-way journey. Salmon don't go up there and spawn and come back. They give their life for the next generation. It's the way the species lives. They go and die. Actually, it's their decaying body that helps the process of the eggs doing this. And it's a part of the whole cycle of life, and they will do it this next year like they did thousands of times before. And we are in a process, folks, of godly men that was willing to go to the cross, lion's dens, fires, tortures of all kinds. We're in the same lineage of those kind of people. What do you want to be when you grow up? What's the highest thing, or highest calling, highest ambition? What is the goal that you've placed out there on your life that you'd really like to accomplish and be? I've had a lot of things I like to do and been and had fun in life. I like to fit horseshoes. It's one of my, where a lot of people's out lifting weights or trying to keep exercise. One of my exercises, I throw 2.5 pounds, 40 feet. I know it looks silly, but it's a good exercise, and it's a challenge to my body, and it's a challenge to my brain, and I like to try to get better. But if I could use the whole arsenal of God's way, it wouldn't be to be the world's best horseshoe fitter. No. I need something more than that. I'm going to tell you what. I went out and made ringers, and it didn't make me happy. It didn't make me any better. It didn't make me treat my wife better. Didn't make me treat me, get along with my neighbor better. Didn't fulfill me. Didn't give me peace. Be followers of the Lord as dear children, following those that went before. We have a great heritage before us. We have a great time before us. The Lord, I want to be in the number that are faithful to the Lord and willing to give my life in this, that. 2015, folks, God needs an army of people that's willing to sacrifice their life to Him and give it over to Him and His arsenal. God, through His arsenal of life, can make you in to the saint that you desire to be. If you're willing to turn that over to Him tonight, turn it over to Thee and say, Lord, my hand is off. Use Your great arsenal that You have in life to make me what I ought to be. I want to be a follower of God. If there's anything that I can attain to, I'm impressed by Solomon. Don't know how the end of his life turned out, but I'm impressed by what he said when it come down that the Lord said, I'll give you anything you want. Solomon, I'll grant you, what do you want? Riches? Your power. Give me wisdom, that I might leave such a great people. Because you said, give me wisdom, I'll grant it all to you. Well, you think the Lord really wants a people that's cowed down, beat down, poor, nothing? No, God has places for everybody. He says, I would that you prosper and be in health. Oh, but there's something for us. Even as thy soul prospers. You know, God has a desire for us to eat, be clothed, be a part of society, have friends, be honored, be noble. Of course He does. He wants us to take care of our souls. My highest desire and aim in this life is to be a godly man, to be a godly person, to be able to help others where I can. Listen, I'm not claiming perfectionist. I'm saying this is a desire. Lord, use your arsenal tonight, your great arsenal, to help us here in 2015. Folks, don't be surprised. We already heard a little bit of this. Don't be surprised if God doesn't start trying to shake. He's a merciful God.
He's going to shake the things that can be shaken, but he's going to help those that can be helped too. God's merciful. And he will use the events and things of life to help people, to stir them up to say, I need God. We need to be there to help God and lead and to help people to do it. Help us to be what we ought to be as children of God. I want, when my daddy puts his boots on a certain way, I want to put my boots on that way too. When my daddy says we ought to help this one, I want to be there to help that one too. I learned a long time ago, folks, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your desire when you feel like it. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go on a picnic and just lay around and enjoy this day. That's right in the middle of it when the Lord's going to send something for you, and now you're going to say, am I going to enjoy this day, or am I going to do this thing that needs to be done in order to help somebody else do it? It'll cost you. It'll cost you the things you want to do, where you want to go. It'll cost you. But oh, I'm going to tell you, it'll give you a heritage. It'll give you something so much more than anything, and you come away with it just saying, I thank the Lord for every time where the natural course of life would have been something, and the Lord had in my heart something altogether different, and I come away saying, who is this man that I am now? He's different than he ever was before, and I like it. Lord, help me to always be it. You pray for me.